It is 11:17 on November 8th. And this is Mark Hernandez's 57th birthday. We now have a big soda cast in Berkeley. Thank you, Joy and Margie. We have a young guest along with Samsara. You want to introduce her? Okay, and the meeting is now in order. Okay. Roll call and excusing of absent members. There you
okay.
go.
So Craig is absent. Malcolm Bernstein? Yeah. Okay. Brian Edward Ticket?
Here.
Okay. Jose Luis Fuentes?
Absent.
Okay. David Gantz?
Not here.
Donald Goldmacher?
Here.
Okay. Kate Gong?
Out of town.
Mark Hernandez?
Here.
Cynthia Johnson?
Here.
Janet Colburn?
Present.
Jack Kurzweil?
Here.
David Landau?
Here.
Joy Moore? Samsara Morgan?
Here.
Andre Pritchett?
Present.
Louis Sawyer?
Out of town.
Okay. Frank Sturing?
Here.
Kate Tanaka?
Here.
Ramses T.R. Nichols?
He's on his way, but he's okay. Not here now.
All right. Carol Travis?
Here.
David Welsh?
Here.
Barbara Whipperman?
Here.
Burton White?
Here.
Margie Wilkinson?
I'm here.
And Rich Withers?
Here.
All right.
Can I have a motion about the absent members?
Okay. Margie?
I move that we excuse the absent members.
Second.
All in favor, please raise your hands. Any opposed? Unanimously agreed to. Now we have the agenda. Can we have a motion to approve the agenda? Okay.
I'd like to propose an amendment.
Okay.
Here. I'd like to have us discuss whether or not we should change the date for our December meeting. It initially was planned for the first Saturday out of our pattern of trying to stick to the second Saturday for this year, because we thought it would interfere with the with the crafts fair. And since it is not, and people have various reasons to not want to meet the first Saturday, I propose we change our next meeting to December, what would it be, 13th.
So that is an agenda item then, a discussion on that. Where do you want that on the agenda?
Oh, I think we should discuss that right away as okay. part of the okay. approval of the...
We'll amend the...
Okay, so that is an agenda item to go right after the approval of the agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor of the amendment, please raise your hands.
This is just adding it to the
agenda. Yes, this is adding it to the agenda. Opposed? It carries. Okay, on the main motion of accepting the agenda, all those, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please raise your hands. Opposed? Another unanimous vote. And now, therefore, we have the discussion about moving. I have two microphones, which I really love, but
right.
So the next item is the motion that Barbara made. It was moved, and so now that's on the agenda. Yes, Margie.
Okay, so. Yeah, I hope everybody will vote for this motion. First of all, I think it gives us a sort of a normal gap between LSB meetings. I think everyone feels like this one came fast on the heels of the previous one. And I know that there are some people who are unable to attend on the weekend of the 8th. That is the weekend that they're having their big fundraiser in Fresno, and so neither of our members from that area would be able to be here, and others perhaps can't be there. And I personally think that we should stick to the schedule of every second Saturday whenever we can. So I'm hoping that people will vote for this change.
Janet.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't have any problem with changing it, except that the person who would possibly be giving a budget workshop may not be available that day. So anyway, I really don't know at this point.
Okay. Any other discussion on the matter? Joy?
How about we don't have a meeting in December? I can't hear
her. She says not
meeting. No meeting.
No meeting in December.
I totally applaud the sentiment, but December is one of the 2 months our bylaws require us to meet in. It's when we're supposed to elect officers for the upcoming year.
Okay. Seeing no other, Frank, give Frank a microphone.
I'm not sure if I remember correctly. Last time, I think we had like an abbreviated meeting of elected officers and then adjourned last time.
Yeah, I think that's so. Right.
Am I mistaken? I'm not sure. But if we could do that, maybe that'll help everybody.
Cheer us up.
For Christmas cheer. Okay. On the motion, unless anybody else has anything to say, Andrea has something to say.
No.
Okay. All in favor, please signify by raising your hands. Opposed? Carries? Again, unanimously. All right. Now, we do not have minutes. Craig is not here and did not bring the minutes, so that's check. Announcements. Frank.
Well, maybe I should have saved it for Joy.
No, go for it.
You might have better details on it. I got two of them, but I'll just say maybe Quincy or somebody else might announce it. I think many of us know, many of us don't know that KPFB today is programming something different than KPFA. Maybe someone else can clarify the hours. I think it's like 11 to 5 or 11 to whatever. So KPFB is, there's a variety of shows. Maybe someone might announce them later exactly what they are, but some of them are graduate apprentices. Some of them are senior apprentices. Some of them are people from around the station or from outside the station. So KPFB is broadcasting to Berkeley.
Where do I find out more?
Someone will have to, I think there's a grid going around. I think Deb is helping facilitate it all, so. Yes, that's happening. And I'm sure Joy has an announcement I'll let her make.
Joy, do you have a, give her the microphone. Oh, give her, Janet, pass Joy a mic. Thanks.
So I tried to send the LSB, out to the LSB and the CAB and the KPFA Outreach Committee to invite everyone to the 30th anniversary and reunion of the KPFA Apprenticeship Program this Friday, November 15th.
14th.
Also, I want to celebrate all of the various factions of volunteers that come through KPFA. So that's why I specifically invited you, the LSB, the CAB, and the Outreach Committee. So we're going to have a live show. We're going to be on the air for 2 hours, and we're going to bring as many of the 400 graduates of the KPFA program back together as we can. So I hope you all can come. There'll be food Friday, 5:30 to 9 at KPFA.
But you
with
said
Quincy's support.
The 14th.
Thank you.
You said the 15th.
The 14th. Yeah, 14th. Friday the 14th. I'm sorry. I'm punch drunk from my.
Your big win.
No. I want to announce too. Yeah, Measure D1. But the debut of Occupy the Farm was last night, and I'm in it too. I don't know how that happened, but I'm in that one. So you need to go see it. It's at the UA over the weekend. It's a beautiful film.
Okay.
Thank you,
Margie.
Okay, so Measure D won, and it won really big. And I think the next step is to hold, so it's a wonderful thing. It's the first time in this country that we were, any locality was able to pass a tax against over-sugared drinks. And there's going to be some money coming into the city, and there's going to be the city council is going to create a committee that's going to, a committee of experts that's going to determine how that money is spent.
And radio.
Oh, good idea. And our next task, I think, is to hold the feet of the city council to the fire to make sure that they do the right thing with the money, because the money's going into the general fund. And there's going to be like a celebratory outpouring of Measure D supporters at the city council meeting, which is going to take place on the 14th. And I urge all of you who live in Berkeley, if you don't live, if you just live nearby and like the idea that we did this terrific thing, that we stuck it to Big Soda, come to the city council meeting on the 14th.
On November 14th?
November 14th. Isn't that a Tuesday?
That's a Friday.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait
don't
a minute.
Don't holler.
It's the 12th. No?
11th.
That doesn't sound right. No. It's not.
It's a Tuesday. 18th is the next week.
Yeah, it's the 18th.
That's right. I apologize. The 18th.
Frank, can you do something with that mic?
This one.
Yeah. Rich.
December 7th is going to be the Fresno Free College Foundation and KFCF's annual banquet. And the Fresno Free College Foundation, for some of you who may not know, is the organization that owns and operates KFCF. It got started in 1968 when professors at what was then Fresno State College, is now California State University Fresno, were being fired for political reasons, because they were liberal, because they were La Raza, because they were black studies professors, because they were union. This was Ronald Reagan was governor, and this was his plan to purge all the liberals from the colleges and universities, and started in Fresno. So they founded the Fresno Free College Foundation because the professors thought, we want to set up a legal defense fund, and we want to write it off on our taxes. And that's how it got started. And then various things came out of that over the years, and one of them was KFCF, because for a while the only positive media they were getting was from this group called the Pacifica Foundation, and they thought, you know, it'd really be nice to have that type of coverage in Fresno and that type of news. So the original plan was to bring in KPFK from Los Angeles. Then they got together with an engineer and said, well, yeah, we could do that, but it would be two microwave hops at $35,000 each, but I could do it from KPFA for one microwave hop at $35,000. So that happened, and in 1975, KFCF went on the air. That's how we got started. Anyway, we do an annual banquet, usually with a speaker. This year we're doing a little different. Our speaker is actually a musician. It's Laurie Lewis of Laurie Lewis and the Right Hands. She'll be talking about musicians as activists, and her band will be playing with her. We'll also have our annual free speech awards, and we'll be honoring our KFCF programmer of the year. And we do this, and we have a silent auction, a raffle. We have a program that we sell ads in, and we probably make about $7,000 to $10,000 a year for the station on this. So, you know, I don't know if KPFA could do something similar to that, but, you know, if you ever have any questions about how we do it, I can always answer them. And if anybody wants to come down, we'd be glad to see you, but I understand it's a long trip.
Cynthia.
There were some victories, and I imagine Andres Soto Thursday at 3:30 will talk about the Richmond Progressives. Because wasn't that terrific? Community radio and all that. So just briefly, I've got a petition here. Stop the demolition of the landmark Shattuck Theater. We have until November 19th to make comments. And this Sunday, David Hartso, a well-known community peace activist at our fellowship hall, Cedar and Benita in North Berkeley, is celebrating his launching his book, Waging Peace. And then a whole bunch of other things. But this coming Saturday, the 15th, the Berkeley Fellowship is having its annual dinner benefit, and that's with, we're honoring Planting Justice, a group in Oakland, Mecca, and Michael Parenti, one of our great political analysts. So that's, I'll put things over by our table. Thanks.
Any other announcements? Okay.
Public comments. Did anybody sign up for public comments? Daniel. You got Brian?
Don't go back there. It's too much trip hazard.
Right, it'll have feedback. And the Brian, by the way, is the timekeeper. I think we give you 3 minutes instead of two.
Okay. I'm Daniel Borgstrom, and a couple of things I wanted to bring up. One, I heard about a budget allotment for unpaid staff. I think it was something like $5,000. And one account is I heard it got cut from the budget. Another is that it was on the budget, and people asked, didn't seem to know, so I'm asking right now, is it in there? Is it in the budget or is it not?
It is.
It is. Oh, good. Everybody would be glad to hear that. And the other thing has to do with Richmond. Yeah, I live in Berkeley, where I walk out and see the Richmond Refinery when I walk around the bay. Anyway, I was very surprised this year that the Richmond Alliance actually seems to have won the according to the latest vote counts I've seen. I'd pretty well written them off. And I understand that the refinery had put a huge amount, zillions of dollars into this. Well, that's an exaggeration, but they put a lot of money into
$3 million.
$3 million, yeah, defeating this. And some of this, and at the same time, I noticed that Andre Soto's show, well, the Morning Mix, which included Andre Soto's show, was taken off about that time. And so I wonder, is that a coincidence? Did any of that money come to KPFA or to persons at KPFA?
No.
How do we know? I mean, there must be hundreds of ways to launder money. And I keep wondering, and if it did come to KPFA, will it continue to come to KPFA since all this putting huge amounts of money didn't seem to win their election? Thank you for listening.
It was filtered through the Unitarian Church.
Carol, did you sign up? Okay.
Carol Wolfley, I'm speaking as an individual right now and also working with the Outreach Committee. I want to thank KPFA for their recent coverage of the presence at the post office, Berkeley Post Office. That's been really significant. There have been people having a direct action presence there, sleeping out. It's a coalition between three organizations. First, they came for the homeless who were at Staples and also save the post office and Berkeley Post Office Defense. And there was great coverage on the news. There was coverage of announcements through Full Circle. And also, there was something really interesting, important that happened. Chris Welch invited J.P. Masser from Berkeley Post Office Defense to come to have a phone interview on her show. And after that interview, like 20 people showed up at the post office. And it was really heartwarming to see that coverage and to see the in-depth interviews that were done. So thank you.
Is that it? Okay. General Manager's report. Quincy, here we go.
Can I use the stand? Testing, Frank. Okay, let's see. At last month's meeting, I was tasked with a couple of assignments for this meeting to bring the new program director, Laura Privis. Here she is, ladies and gentlemen. So she can introduce herself to the board. And second was to offer up some simple ideas about how to begin a fundraising platform for the board, some development ideas. As GM, a major part of my job is fundraising. And folks always say that must be always hard to keep asking people for help. But to me, or anyone else in the nonprofit world that's charged with attracting support, financial or otherwise, you should understand that fundraising is really connecting with people, creating authentic relationships that tap into their passion to make a difference. We offer donors, listeners, not only a chance to support, but also to enhance our important work, but the opportunity to join our community of people who share a collective vision that gets refined and shaped over time. I understand how asking for money evokes scary, unpleasant emotions, but at its core, it's truly a simple proposition if you put faith in the mission of our mission, you know, working to make a better world, a better place. It's exhilarating, inspiring, and energizing, right? That's why we're all here, correct? Money is only the tool that helps us advance and enrich our work. So I've put together a few starter ideas that other organizations, nonprofits have used in the past. Real simple stuff, but none of this stuff's gonna be any work. It's not gonna work unless you really embrace the idea of really doing this on your own and putting your own ideas into it. And that's the only path to successfully for us to stop chasing our financial tail. That's what I think anyway, so. Well, so here's some of the stuff that I've put out here. These are very simple and very executable things, because the things that we have to do, we ain't got any money. So we don't have money to spend a lot of money on doing a promotion, and we don't have a lot of time. So these are kind of cheap and easy kind of ones to do. But I want to say on the air, we will continue the refresh theme, asking people to help us update our equipment, so forth and so on. That seems to be catching on and working. And also, our before history rolls over our 25th anniversary, I think we really should sit down and really try to come up with something that we can use, some sort of, I have an idea for it, so I'll bring it up. 65th birth year, 1949, yeah, 65 years, the radio station, sorry. The first one's that it's called, I just wrote down simply KPFA parties. There's two kinds of parties that most nonprofits throw. You can have an in-kind business throw a party for you. It could be like KPFA night at Stella Nona. You know that place? It's that restaurant? So we would do the marketing and a promotion to get people to come to the place, and then they would offer us maybe, say, 30% of the profits for the evening. The same thing is something I'm trying to work out with Freight and Salvage right now, where we would have a benefit concert once a year for KPFA, and all the funds would come to us. And in the meantime, we would do promos and so forth and so on with them on all of their attractions coming up. You know, interviews, all the nine yards, just about what we're doing anyway. So, but make it worth our while. The second one is really kind of based on political parties. The board members could throw parties at their house. This is something like you invite like 10 people over. You have a certain amount of money you want to raise with the 10 people. So the 10 people come, and so does management from the radio station and other board members. We do a stand-up little pitch. You know, I would do it, of course. I would be willing to do that. You know, that's my job. Get up and do the pitch for the radio station. The people would donate a certain amount of money. What you're really looking for is to try to enthuse other people that are there to throw their party. So if we can get, if you say you throw a party of 10, and one of your friends decides he's going to throw a party of 10 and invites his people, and you just keep the ball rolling. I did that at Mocha, and it was really successful for us. So it's just another little small idea, easy to do.
The pyramid party.
Yeah, sort of, yeah. That's good, Barbara. The 50-50 raffle. Simple. It's non-time consuming. You can raise a decent amount of money. 50% of the total of the jackpot that is reached goes to the winner of the raffle, and the other 50% comes to the radio station. Board members, everybody sells tickets, you know, we decide on a price, whatever. We could do 14, 30 days, 60 days, as long as we want it, on the website that people can see as the total goes up and up and up. Then we have the drawing. It's pretty simple, pretty easy to do. Another big ticket event idea is, I call it here KPFA After Dark, which is This is a big event thing where the rubber really hits the road. It's a bit more time consuming, but I think the timing is right. We have two things that are coming up or two things that we could really hit on. One is the website. We could do a small sort of party for the website and invite donors and partners and people like that, community friends, to celebrate when we launch the new website. The second one is the 65th birthday. We could do a gala for that. I thought about this for a long time because at MoCA and stuff, of course, we were trying to invite corporations. So you get Colgate to come or Clorox or whoever you could get to come in and buy tables. Here, obviously, we can't do it that way. But we can have tables with luminaries on them. So if you have a Danny Glover table and you have an Alice Walker table, you have a Bonnie Raitt table, you know, Amy Goodman table, if we could do something like that and people would pay a little bit more to sit at that certain person's table, we could make quite a bit of money. I mean, we could, you know, set it up so that you could be paying up to, you know, $1,200 to sit at Amy Goodman's table, for instance, or $500 to sit with Danny Glover.
Big tables.
Big tables, lots of folks. So anyway, you could do sample sponsorship labels, you know, for things like that. These are just kind of quick fixes and little ideas just to throw out there to get you guys thinking about other stuff, but these are pretty executable. The other thing that I want to do, I have an idea for a couple of videos that should run, that I need to be running on the website anyway, but also videos that could be used as preloaded pitches for people that could be on iPads or on phones. If we have a couple of short videos, for instance, a couple of titles, Refresh KPFA or Why KPFA Matters, where we interview people at the staff and supporters of the radio station, have it all cut up, nicely done, and you can just play that for people and there's the pitch for you. So that takes the anxiety off people who don't really know how to go out and do the pitch or really don't want to do that kind of ask for money kind of thing. This worked for me before, so it's an item I have to do. I'm trying to get those videos done for free, so it's taken a little longer to get my friend to do it, but I think I'll have them by the time we launch in January anyway. So we'll have these tools that will be available for us for this. But last but not least, I just want to tell you that the secret about fundraising is basically that people really want to make a difference with their lives and with their money. They want to work together and share their passion with like-minded individuals. So put your faith in that, and I will see you at the bank. That's it. Now, I'll introduce you to Laura. She'll introduce herself to you.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for inviting me here. First, I want to say thank you to the board and the hiring committee for making the hiring of a program director a priority. It's been a great privilege for me to have worked at KPFA for the last 10 years, both as an unpaid and a paid staff member. And the opportunity for me now to take on the task of directing programming here at the station that has played such a pivotal role in progressive thinking in the Bay Area and beyond is a dream come true. 3 weeks ago, when I was running down the stairs on deadline, getting details to programmers on air during the fund drive, Nina Serrano stopped me to ask if La Raza Chronicles was preempted on election night. And when I told her I didn't know, she said, "But you're the program director, you should know." And I had to tell her that I was not yet the program director, but I would find out for her, which I did. But this illustrates to me how much KPFA has needed a single point person for programmers to get the information they need to do their jobs effectively. As it has been, programs have had little choice but to retreat into their individual lifeboats, floating on the stormy seas of KPFA internal politics, where rumors abound and a cohesive sound that makes sense to listeners is a kind of hit or miss proposition left up to those who have the time and energy to make the effort to fill the void. So in my first months in this position, I want to concentrate on organizing our lines of communication. I plan to talk directly to as many programmers as possible. I want to gather information about what programmers need and signal to programmers that they are no longer alone, but part of a whole radio station ecosystem. And our radio station ecosystem needs everyone to work together in order to survive. One place to begin to work together is with the simple act of encouraging forward promotion of what's coming up next on the air, highlighting our upcoming specials, and promoting KPFA and events and ourselves. Quincy and I have been talking with Dev Ross about expanding the interstitial spaces of the broadcasting day. That is, the public service announcements and station promotions in between the programs. They need to say over and over again throughout the day, we are KPFA, we are community powered. If you're hearing this, we are your resource. We are your source for credible information and music and culture that's different from what you hear in the mainstream. It's different because it's real. It can be trusted because it's not about bottom line profits. It's about the needs of the community that's made up of regular people. Maintaining our independent status means we have to concentrate on fundraising. It's clear we have too many on-air fund drives. Gaining new listeners while still keeping the ones we have will require that we reduce our on-air fundraising days. That means we have to concentrate on off-air fundraising. I applaud the board's decision from your last meeting to look into how the board can contribute to fundraising efforts off-air. As program director, I need to be on the lookout for what it is that KPFA can provide because of its unique independent status. While we now in the 21st century have a global reach through the internet, what is it that the world needs from us that only we can provide? Our niche in the world is reporting and analysis of what is happening on the ground locally. We need to continue to develop more programming that gives voice to our local thinkers, social justice activists, and organizations that are responding and strategizing around issues in the Bay Area. We need to highlight how our cultural leaders and artists are expressing the drama of their lives and inspiring people to action. And especially that needs including and giving support to the voices of the next generation. We need to be giving younger people opportunities to learn and practice their broadcasting skills. We need to inspire local young people to get engaged in the tradition of KPFA. Thanks.
Frank? No, it's not a.
Here, how about this one?
No, because they should have that over there. Okay.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Yeah, and now it's really loud, which I appreciate, but somewhere in between, yeah. Okay.
That's why you're picking up feedback when it points at the piano.
Oh.
That's bouncing sounds to the speaker.
Okay.
From the speaker.
Okay. So, like, that's better. Okay. So, we can't have Margie or Burton or Don or any of those people talk. Okay. On discussion. What we'll do is what we have done in the past. If there are questions and so on, we'll start with groups of three and then turn it back. So are there questions or comments? Janet.
Okay, I have a question for Quincy and the rest are questions for Laura. So Quincy, I can't remember which meeting it was, the last one or the one before I asked you whether you have held a staff meeting and what your plans were for that, and you said something about after the fund drive. And so I wanted to know if you have held a staff meeting and or when would that be? So
no, I haven't scheduled a staff meeting.
Wait a minute. We're going to get a bunch of questions.
So my question's for Laura.
Go ahead.
Okay. So Laura, would like you to share with us how the program department is organized, you know, like the news department, the music, etc. What is the actual organization of it in terms of reporting to you, etc. Also, what are your thoughts, if anything, about a program council?
Okay. Other questions? Okay, no, but no other questions? Then Quincy and Laura, go for it.
I haven't scheduled the staff meeting yet. It is coming up. Fund drive's just over, and I'm kind of waiting for a little bit more development on the website so that we can kill two birds with one stone, a little training session at the same time. So programmers can learn how to use the website and see it.
So would it be before the end of the year?
Probably not. But then again, I don't know. It depends on the development. It's moving pretty quickly. We're hoping to have the website up to tease people in December, just to show that the people that are giving us money for the website, to put up something to show them that we've been doing the work. So I want to do that in December. So somewhere around there.
Organization-wise, we haven't had a program director for a long time. We've had some interims, but it's mostly through email. There's staff announcements. There's department heads meetings. I have only been on the job for a week, and there is a little bit of a void with how that is organized. So there's the music programmers. There's public affairs programmers. There's the entire staff on email. I've already sent a couple staff emails telling people about next drives and the next drives for the next year. So it's kind of it's in process how things could be better organized. Program council, of course we need community input. I think the CAB, the Community Advisory Board, is somewhat underutilized. I don't know how much interaction we have with them that we could use some more. And I know Quincy has had some ideas about program council as well.
Frank.
Hello. I was curious, Quincy, about the web development guys, and I think I sent you an email a while back, and you said to get back to you about it, which I haven't really had our meeting, but I'm curious if they're maybe going to give us an update about, you know, what's going on, or maybe how it's going, and if there will be a good platform for multiple video streaming abilities, or even just audio streaming on a secondary channel of events and other stuff. And then I guess kind of a programming directing question would be, I think when we develop this video or alternative broadcasting channels, whether it's audio or video, is Laura going to be helping to direct that, and how are we going to, I think there's a lot of process to developing the video side or the alternative broadcasting channels on the website. So I'm just curious how that's going to work. If there's going to be like my idea is like a bank of channels, like to one side of the screen where you could listen to whoever has something alternative on the air at what time, you know? So, and then I think another way is to discuss how to broadcast that on the air and talk about that.
Yeah, I think that I really think that we should discuss a lot of this stuff in the house at the crib. We can sit down and talk about it, Frank. A lot of that stuff's dependent on resources, too, of course. We are going to have video on there. That's important. And also, the live streaming thing is just going to be transferred over from what it is now. So it will be there and available to us. But what we do on these channels has to be developed inside. So if you want to be a part of working out that kind of thing, I would be delighted to have you on that, you know, when we put together a group to work on that stuff. The website guys, basically, they're just building architecture. The programming's up to us. It's always going to be up to us to put what's going to be on those featured channels and so forth and so on. So that's all our stuff. So we'll be developing teams to work on that stuff. So I know you want to be involved in that, and you will be.
And then okay. Last one for Laura.
What I would like you to do is give your questions.
Okay, and then you can build them up if anybody else has any.
Right, and Quincy is the person who jumped in. But
right.
Okay.
So my last one for Laura would be, you talked about the community activist area, which is a part that I'm really passionate about, is having more community activism on the air, supporting action, supporting stuff like that. So I'm curious on how you see using the video streaming, maybe, or setting aside like blocks of programming to preempt stuff when there's like an important action happening, and maybe doing a live remote broadcast. I'm curious on your thoughts on, you know, how you feel about that. Like, take for example the Block the Boat one, where we did 2 hours of programming the main day that they had that. And so are you open for, I remember the march demonstrations we used to have on the anniversary of the Iraq War. We always had like 4 hours on a Saturday of the huge demonstration and the march, and people would host live from the Civic Center. So I'm curious your feelings on the, you know, supporting actions, and then as a program director, to promoting those actions on the air. I remember...
I think you might have gotten 3 minutes now with all the stuff that you've
my
done,
last, I didn't know we had the limits on asking questions.
Okay.
And so another thing is, I know I brought it to you, Quincy, one time. My last PSA was ruled a call to action, which I felt it wasn't, and then I never got word back why it couldn't play. So I'm curious of, like, how we could promote activist actions on the air with regular PSAs. Right now our PSA has to be a benefit for something. I've been trying to sneak it in by becoming a broadcast. So how could we work with the activists to actually talk about their actions, broadcast in the lead up to them without making them an official PSA that has to be a benefit or whatever. I don't know if that's a legal rule or what that is, but so I'm looking forward to like promoting events and actually broadcasting live from events. So how are your feelings upon that?
Joy, Don.
So I wasn't here. Thank you, Quincy, for your report. I wasn't here last meeting. I know you mentioned ComNet. But there's been quite a bit of discussion on the net about using the services of ComNet, in particular the politics, and how there may be a perception that the money that we're paying them is being used to fund ideals and philosophies that I think are counter to the mission of KPFA. And I wanted to know what we were doing about getting off of ComNet, or were we even considering it?
Huh. We just had an election this past week, and putting aside the politics of the two-party system, clearly the vast majority of Americans are increasingly unhappy with the direction of the country, with the economics of the country, with the increasing wealth inequality in the country. They're angry, they're frustrated. How are we going to develop new programming at KPFA that reaches out to more than just the activist community, but to those who are waiting to hear about solutions that are real solutions that impact their daily lives? And what could that programming look like, aside from what we're already doing on the air, which seems to me, as I listen throughout the day, very often directed at a very narrow bandwidth?
Okay, go ahead, Laura and Quincy.
Okay. As far as... I guess if we happen to have streaming, I would like to be a part of figuring out what makes sense to be on the air. But I think at this point, like, just since we haven't had a program director for the terrestrial sound of KPFA, I think that's the first place to organize and get a handle on and move on from there. As far as... actions that happen out in the world. You know, KPFA is a media organization. We need to cover events that are important to our community. So, of course, we have to cover protests. We have to, you know, make decisions in-house what kind of things we need to cover and how much resources we have to be able to do that. I think it's, you have to be careful about using the word support. Actions. We're covering actions. We're a media organization that might end up in supporting them because we are covering them, but that's not our role to support them. So totally open to that. I think that's
Joy, you went here last time, last meeting. ComNet came up last meeting, and I said to the board, you know, when I got hired, there was a background check on me. So if the board wants to pass a resolution to do background checks on all companies that we start working with, you should pass a resolution. But I also cautioned them that if you do background checks on a lot of places like PG&E or AT&T, you're going to find people that don't get along with the mission either. So it's up to you to make a choice on how you want to do that. Because if it's PG&E, should we shut the transmitter down? If it's AT&T, should we shut the phones down? But on top of that, we are still looking at some other companies instead of ComNet, but for other reasons. Is that ComNet is not exactly the end-all product that we would like to have. So there's another group that we're looking into to see if they can handle the needs that we have for rollover. We're still going to go back to volunteers, like I said, in December. But we might try to use a different company to do the back end stuff. So we're looking into that, something that's cheaper, and we've heard there might be even better. So discussions with them has just started. So I'm hoping to get that moving forward quickly. So there may not be any ComNet. As far as what you're talking about, Don, it's interesting that you brought it up, because just the other day on the GM meeting that we have on Thursday, because of the election, I proposed to all the radio stations in Pacifica that we should be the voice of the young generation out there. They don't have a place to go. We should be that voice. We should be that place. We should start doing programming that goes after those people, that energizes those young voices, and have them come and be with us as we start moving toward 2016. By the time we get there, we should be a very, very strong player in this. And I think that we can put together a very good plan with all the radio stations in Pacifica working together. Here at KPFA, it has been my goal for a while now since I got here. I've been negotiating with people and talking to younger groups to try to get them on the air and put them on the air to energize those voices. And that's something that we're still working on. And fingers crossed, we're getting really close to doing something like that. But we are trying to open up the programming to reach different people, a wider audience, of course. And that's the same thing with hopefully that the new website can do for us too. I think when you look at the identity of the new website, it will say more than just, you know, about who we are. It will speak to who we are right away, but it won't scare you away. It'll look like a place that you could have some fun at too, because we are 65% music. I mean, we're a very enjoyable place to listen to, and it never gets promoted properly. And with Laura here and really putting together a programming scheme along with Dev and other people like that want to work together on kind of transforming the structure of the radio station, we can promote ourselves on the air better so that we can reach more people. And that's exactly my intentions, and we'll be starting to do that right away. And it'll be a good thing. It'll be a really good thing for all of us, and I think it'll help on all levels. I think the programming will be re-energized, and I think we can open up. I think we can open out to a lot of people that have never listened to us before, which was very encouraging with the last fund drive, because we found out in our statistics in the last fund drive that we had over 5,000 people that had never listened to us before that donated, and they donated substantial amounts of money. So that was very encouraging too. So that kind of stands up to our programming, which is quite interesting and alternative. And we are, people just don't know we're here. And a lot of people that left need to come back. And a lot of people that don't know about us at these college campuses and all these young kids that don't have a place to really to say anything, we should be that place. And if we open up our doors and are able to organize that kind of energy, it could be huge. And that's what I'm looking forward to doing.
Thank you. Andrea, Burton, Janet, David, and then we'll go back to Quincy.
Well, I'm psyched. I'm happy to hear you speak, and I do feel some little glimmers of hope when I hear you, you know. And I also appreciate some of the new stuff I've been hearing on the station and the efforts. And so it's nice to see signs of life, and I really do appreciate that. Couple thoughts. You know, people listen to KPFA for a lot of different reasons. I also appreciate your attention to music and culture, because I think that is a huge draw that has kind of not been tapped for a long time in new ways. I'm excited about the KPFB ideas and stuff. I'm I'm sure that that's going to be a part of the new website, and there's going to be a grid, and we'll be able to look at that. And I'm just always looking for those portals, those ways that the community can be involved. So again, I'm happy to hear that the volunteer thing has been restored. I'm curious about a calendar, like, because I know, coming from the activist community, there's a lot of interest in being able to calendar events and being able to if I'm part of the KPFA family, there's a really good chance that the events that are happening there are events that I want to go to. And it would be so cool to get onto the website and be able to click on a day, and that it wiki style or whatever, that people are posting their own, and maybe even posting their own audio. So when, like, we go out and do PSAs, right? And they either play or don't. The problem comes in the competition for the airspace.
Right.
But if we eliminated the need for the competition and just let people do it directly onto the website, it could be real nice. Yeah. And then that loyalty thing, that people feeling like KPFA is theirs. I'm really missing local news. Really missing it. I don't know where to go because I feel like I need to start watching TV again. Because I'm just not hearing Berkeley news. And this town is just crawling with stuff going on, and it just feels like it's not represented there. So in the mornings, I get up in the morning and I'm listening to that whole thing, and I just feel like KPFA is getting scooped by, like, Berkeley side. If you just look at some of the local newspapers, it's like, oh, that's going on? Oh, there's all kinds of craziness going on. So I'd love to see KPFA be able to recapture that edge. I'm also curious about what the guidelines around pitching are. You know, the more I learn about fund drives, and the greater my appreciation is for the work that goes into putting those together. But sometimes I feel like, as a regular listener, I feel like I'm hearing, like, the same, like, I can do the pitches with the hosts, because I know their taglines, I know their special little angle on it. It's familiar, and that's nice, but it's not refreshing in the refreshed sense of the campaign. And the question about support, Laura, this is just a point of view, is that I think when he means support, it means to see what's going on. That in itself, to cover it, is a form of support. And what we look around is that most of the stuff, like, as an activist, most of the stuff that I'm seeing is not reflected anywhere. And that's why KPFA, why it's so in keeping with the mission, because KPFA, in my view, in my interpretation of the mission, is that it's supposed to see the things that remain unseen by the others. And so to see that there's a fossil fuels demo, to see that there's a block the boat thing, is to do what the others are not. So that's a form of support. Anyway, and on the Comcast debate, may I just say that, ComNet, is that
same thing.
Wherever,
okay.
Yeah, wherever there is an option, I understand your line of reasoning does make some sense, but we don't have options to PG&E.
Okay,
and we do have options to ComNet.
Okay. Burton, Janet, David.
This is an personal expression because of some of the views that have been voiced. I'd like to share with the board my view that there are two types of economic pressure in my mind. One is such as in a strike or a boycott, where you are trying to make a party come to terms. The other is when you try to punish people for having legitimate views with which you disagree. And that reminds me of the Hollywood blacklist, and it reminds me of the destruction of Paul Robeson as a human being. And I plead with you not to get into the situation of punishing people because we disagree with them.
Yeah, first, Quincy, the ideas that you discussed or talked about for fundraising off air, I think, are fabulous. I'm looking forward to working with you on those. Well, as far as local news goes, I live in Oakland, and so Berkeley's not the only local area where. Anyway, so all over the Bay Area, there's local news, and I'd like to hear more of that. And so we not only have a new program director, but we're going to have a new website, and I think those two can certainly dovetail. And yes, terrestrial radio is primary, but the website will allow for other means, multimedia ways that people can access KPFA. And so streaming, et cetera, would be part of that. So those two really should be working together, parallel. Thanks.
David.
Well, I'd just like to reiterate what some other people have said about the importance of local programming and news and public affairs, and that there be a time when people can know they can dial in or tune in and find that out. Now, I think we recently saw in Richmond the importance of a local story there where you had a very active political movement that was able to achieve tremendous success. And it seems like that kind of focused attention to a movement like that, that is, you know, community-based, really community-based, not just somebody trying to impose something on the community, but something that really coming from that, that should be a focus of coverage. So if there was a particular time, let's say 8:30 to 9, or I'm just throwing this out there, or 8:45 to 9, or whatever it happens to be, some favorable time when people are likely to be listening, when they could tune in to get local news. Now we're gonna. There's an agenda item later on under new business, in which this is going to be discussed. And so I was wondering if it'd be possible. I don't know what your time is, Laura or Quincy, but if you could be here for that discussion, if that's possible. Thank you.
Okay, Quincy and Laura.
The local news thing. I guess we should address some of the stuff that's happened to the, I think Eileen should be here actually. That would be terrific to have the news director here actually for this discussion. But I know they've lost a lot of resources in the past. Since the Great Recession, they lost a full-time beat reporter, a three-day-a-week reporter, a three-day-a-week environmental justice reporter, a two-day-a-week news anchor. So there's a lot of resources that they don't have anymore. So I guess that's definitely having an impact on that. But that doesn't mean that the local stuff can't be covered in different ways as well. One of the discussions we've been having lately is using reports from other shows to kind of fill in the news. For instance, Hard Knock has had some great coverage of Ferguson, for instance. And taking bits and pieces of what Davey is doing and putting it inside of a newscast, it works for the news, and it also works for co-promoting the show back. So that's one of the things we're thinking about. I just don't want to open my mouth and say anything about some of the stuff that I'm trying to put together, but a lot of it's local news oriented, the kind of shows we're trying to get, the kind of people we're trying to work with. I think I've mentioned youth radio in the past. And there's a couple of other youth organizations that I'm having discussions with to try to form some sort of programming that can really work on these levels for us in two ways, youthful voices as well as the local news, concentrating on local issues and having these kids do long-form reports and sort of like the style of the way youth radio has been doing it for years on NPR and CBS. But, you know, a little bit more down and dirty, our style. So it could be a real interesting thing, and we're working toward that. So I just want you to know that this is my fourth month here, so there's a lot of balls up in the air. I got a lot of things going, but no one's lost sight of that because that's been a top issue ever since I've hit the door. I've heard it so many times from so many different people. And we've talked about it in department head meetings, and everybody's well aware, and we're trying to do everything we can to kind of move in that direction. I just want you guys to know that. It's really important because I know it's on your mind. And then I saw it too on the agenda, and I was trying to get that. I was trying to get it changed to December so that we could get maybe Eileen in here as well to talk about it. And by that time, we might have some better news about what we're trying to do to elevate it for us. So that's what I wanted to say about that. I love your idea about the activist calendar. Do you mind if I steal that? I think that that's a great idea, and I think I can get that done, and maybe even the audio part of it, too, would be interesting, and that would do a lot of good things. Also, I wanted to tell you that on the community report stuff, the little bit of work we've done with Dev last week, we already opened up 24 more slots for community announcements. So just juggling the calendar around and how that grid works. So we're making some headway with that, too. So I just want you guys to know that we're really on top of this and really trying to move toward that. But I do really think that it would be fair if Eileen was here so she could kind of like talk about what her plans are too as well. Janet, thanks for liking the ideas for the development stuff, and I look forward to working with you too on that. And I think, David, you were talking about local programming, and I think I kind of handled that. You shouldn't have brought that up about KPFB. That was a secret. It's only a test. We're testing it, and don't tell Michael Yoshida we're doing this. You're really blown it now. Okay. Anyway, it's a test, and we want to see what it sounds like. Listen to it back, make some changes, and stuff like that. And then once we're really ready, then we'll start promoting it, and everybody will know. And on the new website, yes, the B will have its own kind of section and be ready to go. So I'm hoping that, I talked about this when I was being interviewed for the job, that I said I would try to use B in some way. So we've just sketched out a slight little program that we have now, something that we can try, throwing some things in there and see how it feels, see how it feels. So I wanted to get, I forgot to answer that before, so.
All right. Any other questions or comments? Okay. We're going to move on. Thank you very much, both of you.
Thank you.
And moving on to the treasurer's report. Barb.
Okay. We've got something to pass out. We need a breather. In
here, pull that.
Take one page and pass it on.
Pull that for.
All right.
Here you go. Take one page and pass it. Thanks.
This is a two-part report, you'll notice. You see the on the far right-hand corner, the date circled was the date that the report was run by our data manager. And the first report that was run on October 17th, shortly before our fund drive ended.
Pull this like this.
All right. Oh, my God. Chris ran this report on October 17th, so the fund drive was not yet finished. And the second report he ran on the 5th. You'll see, for instance, the very first money figure in the top of the first left-hand column went up significantly between the 17th of October and then when they actually closed down the fund drive. Although on air it ended on the 21st, it's left open for I think a two-week period, I'm not quite sure, on the website where people can pledge, look at all of the premiums, and So at that point, after a couple of weeks, they take the premiums off the website. They stop counting the money that comes in through the website as part of the fund drive total that's raised. Then it goes into any money that comes in the website in between fund drives is in a different category of income in our financial statements. But this is the category of listener support. So although we started out with a goal of 680,000, you'll see by the time of November 5th, we exceeded that by about $11,600. As you follow that total across to the right, you'll see the amount now I'm looking at the second report. You'll see the amount that has been paid and the difference. So at that point in time, we had a 59.8% fulfillment rate. Now, you've heard us talk about our fulfillment is usually about 89%. So many of these donations are people spreading them over the year or over half 6 months or 10 months. So as they come in, each donation that comes in, even if it's from two fund drives before, our data manager and his staff credit the appropriate fund drive where the person made the pledge. So you'll see this fulfillment rate change for any of the fund drives that they try to run a separate report for. But this one, believe me, is going to go up. I was questioning what Quincy talked about, brand new donors. You said something about how many thousands did you? Well, this report doesn't really support that, but we can find out. You probably had, some other kind of report. Here, if you look at the total under that, I'm still in the first column now. Under the 691,000, the next amount down is 157,668, and it says acquisitions. These are people, brand new donors. Now, if you follow that line across way over to the last five columns, where it's the top heading is pledge counts, I only see 1,092. In that category. But maybe what Chris was running for you, Quincy, was included perhaps some people who rejoined after a long time. You can see there's 1,000 folks there. And renewals. Anyway, these reports are extremely useful. They're used whenever the staff is analyzing things. They use all this kind of data when they were analyzing how effective having the phone service was, measuring against the time where they just had the phone service, measuring the time against the effectiveness of it when they had the combination, which we're now returning to, the phone service plus our volunteers. And so there are questions that can come up when you see a report like this, and that's one of them I'm going to pursue just to understand myself, because I find these reports very entertaining. Being in this particular category myself, I particularly like the category of additional gifts. I refer to us sometimes as people who are addicted to donating their money to KPFA. And
God bless them.
Yeah. And I also notice down at the very bottom of this right-hand column, or left-hand column, the categories by gift size. If you look at number 6, The most common gift size is between $100 and $250. So I don't know if anybody has any questions about this. This is for your reference. Please keep it in your LSB folder. And also, our business manager has been totally preoccupied with providing things as they're requested by the auditors. They've been auditing like gangbusters over there. And she was not able to prepare a financial report for us, but I think there will probably be one ready that we can actually email between now and the next meeting, perhaps. I'll try to do that. And she was going to text somebody how much money we've got in the bank and what our bills are waiting. Did she send you anything like that? Nope. Oh, okay. She's busy with something else. I'll text. Okay. She was going to text to Margie, who doesn't have her phone. So I left a phone message about that, but I guess didn't take. Donald.
Question is on the line that says web, website, total pledged.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have year-over-year comparisons yet about how much the website is generating during these fund drives versus a year or 2 years ago?
Well, this figure here does not represent in between fund drives. This is during this fund drive.
Understand.
Yeah. Well, it could be, you know, a report could be drawn up by looking at financial reports, and it would just have to be a special gathering of that particular data. I don't have it in my back pocket right now.
I didn't think so.
No. Janet?
Yeah, hi. I had requested last month from Maria to send the LSB a soft copy of the budget. And
that did happen, but not right after the meeting. I think you should have gotten it couple days ago.
No, we have not gotten it.
No, she's got the wrong, Maria has the wrong LSB list, so she sent
Her initial request was when she sent it to our national treasurer, who was conveying it to the National Finance Committee, that he also send it to the LSB, but that was the end of the sentence, and I guess it didn't get noticed. And, it was. And then when we realized that that hadn't happened, she tried sending it again. So I'm sorry, but we will try to straighten that out.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Frank.
Mike.
Are we allowed to ask like questions about the budget that we passed? Because I have a question about that, not actually this chart. Do I have to ask Maria that, or?
Well, if it's not too lengthy, you can ask now. Let's see.
I was curious about. I went and stopped by Maria's office the other day and asked about the apprenticeship account, what we had passed and what it was, and
I was there and I answered you.
Okay, yeah. So that account lines or whatever 6666 is that just for the apprenticeship program?
That is an account number for the apprenticeship program, not salaries, not hourly,
so
pay.
So my question.
And the name of it, just to try to get everybody to remember again, is CAC Training. And the reason that name is established was in the very beginning of the apprenticeship program, there was a grant from the California Arts Council, CAC. So CAC Training in our books equals apprenticeship program.
Okay, so my question is, earlier Daniel was up in his public comments and asked about the unpaid staff amount. Which account?
That is a separate account.
So which number
that is
that?
That is the one that's called training, and I forget now the number. But there is actually $10,000 in that account. And it is available, $5,000 is available for paid staff, $5,000 is available for volunteer staff. To when they see a conference, that they would like to go to that would benefit their job and the radio station, not just, you know, I'd like to go and take basket weaving. That looks really good. They apply, turn in all the information about the conference, and those funds are there to pay for people to attend. As I said, $5,000 is set aside for paid staff and $5,000 for volunteer staff.
All right, so that was my question. I'll come to you later and find out which line or whatever that is, training. I'll look for it myself, but thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we are now at a break. It is 12:33, so we'll reconvene at 12:45. We are on break.